Well, I would be very thankful for your prayers. Pray that the Lord, as we heard in our Sunday school, that the Lord would speak to us from His Word. His words are light and they are life-giving. I believe they are relevant. I believe they are suited to the times that we're living in. I'd like to speak to us today by the Lord's help, beginning in the second chapter of Ephesians. I'd like to speak about the household of God. Ephesians chapter 2. We'll begin in the 12th verse. It says that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off, are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace, and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you which were afar off, and to them that were nigh. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. Thinking about the blessings and the privileges that God has afforded unto his people down throughout time, I think about even the value that was afforded at the birthright, the firstborn in those times, and how easily Esau sold that off and gave it up for just a temporary passing fulfillment of the desires of the flesh. But it came with it the blessing more than just of the father or someone's approval, but really, in a sense, the blessing of God in a very special way. And yet it was discarded, discounted by Esau. God has always had a people that he has called by his name, that he has called out, that he has chosen for himself, that he has wanted to be separate from this world, and unto whom he causes his blessings to be made known. The promises that are in the scripture are wonderful. All 7,000 some of them, or however many it counts up to. They're wonderful. They're precious. The scripture says they are exceeding great and precious promises. But you know, those exceeding great and precious promises are not just afforded to anybody in the world. For example, the scripture that says, we know that all things work together for good. Thank the Lord. To those who are the called, according to his riches and glory, or however the scripture says, there's a calling unto those, unto the elect. There is this special privilege that's afforded, that we're given access unto. It's not just a blanket wholesale blessing upon mankind. Now it is. It's made available to all mankind, but it's not automatically conferred upon all mankind. In Christ Jesus, this blessing has been made known. So this passage that we have read talks about those who were at one time afar off. who were aliens, who were strangers from the commonwealth, from the fold of God's people, from the blessings that came with it. You could only hear about it. Maybe see it from afar off. But if you weren't one of God's chosen ones, if you weren't one of the children of Israel, now I know we read of Rahab and of others who through faith were afforded access. But if you weren't one of the ones who was willing to follow in God's ways, these blessings were not to you. And not just because they were of the lineage of Israel or Jacob, because the Lord told him that if you'll follow me, I'll bless you. I'll bless your crops. I'll fight your battles for you and on. I'll bless your fruit and all that you bring forth. I'll bless that. But if you turn from me, there will be cursing that will follow after you. I am so thankful as I read through this morning that every one of us have access through faith into this grace wherein we stand. What we're reading about here that we didn't have access to before. And speaking unto the Gentiles and the Jewish nation that the time came that through Christ this blessing was made available to all mankind. And that the middle wall was broken apart. That the estrangement from God was done away through Christ. You ever look at the lives of the rich and the famous? Think about royalty. Think about the United Kingdom and the royal family. I don't suspect any of those little princesses and princes that are born are going to have to suffer want or hunger or famine or not knowing where their next meal is going to come from. There are a lot of people in the world that do deal with that. But I don't expect that they're going to be some of that number. What makes the difference? You know they're born into a different family. And because of that royal birth, it has afforded unto them from the time of that birth all the privileges and the rights that come with royalty. You know, I don't desire to be part of a royal family here on earth, but thank God I'm royalty. Thank God that we can be children of the Most High God, children of the King, and we can have with that all the blessings that come with it to be part of royalty. Jesus said in one place that it is the Father's good pleasure. Fear not, little flock, for it is the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom, to give you the keys to the kingdom, access to the kingdom, that you're no longer a stranger or an alien to it. You're no longer a foreigner to it. You no longer have to be just part of a certain family or have a certain last name. Or if you take a DNA test, then it's got to meet a certain criteria. You know what has to be in our DNA? The blood of Christ. And that is the common genetics. That is the common bloodline that ties us all together in the family of God. Thank God we can all be born again into this kingdom, into this family. Oh, I go and I see the sadness of so many people in India who were born into the lowest caste of society. Not by any choice of their own. Not because they're inferior to other people, despite what their society tells them. Because of the parents that they were born to. Their parents were of the untouchable caste, and so they will be also all through their lives. What a hopeless picture. What a hopeless thought. You know, there's another song that comes to my mind. speaking about the family of God, it says, from the door of an orphanage to the house of a king. No longer an outcast, a new song I sing. From rags unto riches, from the weak to the strong. I'm not worthy to be here, but praise God, I belong. You know, there are, I don't know why the world uses this phrase, but you'll hear sometimes, well, I'm just like the redheaded stepchild, or I'm just like the outcast of the family or of the workplace or whatever. Nobody, they put up with me, but I don't really belong. You know, there are not second-rate citizens in this heavenly kingdom. There's not a caste system in the kingdom of God. Well, I'm just always going to be of this lower caste. Well, what was it the psalmist said? I'd rather be a doorkeeper. Just let me be part of the people of God. Just let me be part of this kingdom of God. Let's look also at what David thought about it in the 87th Psalm. Psalms 87, beginning of verse 1. His foundation is in the holy mountains. The Lord loveth the gates of Zion more than all the dwellings of Jacob. Glorious things are spoken of thee, O city of God. I will make mention of Rahab and Babylon to them that know me. Behold, Philistia and Tyre and Ethiopia. This man was born there. And of Zion it shall be said, this and that man was born in her. And the highest himself shall establish her. The Lord shall count when he writeth up the people that this man was born there. Oh, thank God. What's your birthplace? You know, people have many times a sense of national pride. I am a whatever their nationality is. But what the psalmist was saying here was that I'm part of Zion. I belong. I'm one of them. Whenever the Lord himself shall establish her, whenever he counteth up the people, I'm going to be there. Oh, what a privilege, what a blessing is available unto us to be part of the household of God. Folks, this is not like joining a man's church. It's not like subscribing to man's religion. It's not putting a bumper sticker on my car and paying my tithes and signing up on a membership book. Oh, thank God, in the kingdom of God, we're born into her. When Jesus said unto Nicodemus, and no man will see this kingdom except he signed the membership book. No, he said, except he be born again, born from above. Oh, this is a spiritual body. It is a spiritual nation. Believe the prophet said in one place, shall a nation be born in a day? And yet that's what happened. This world is still looking for the kingdom of God to come and to be set up and to be established. But thank God, I'm part of the kingdom of God. And everyone that is saved and born again is part of the kingdom of God. And not just a serf in the kingdom. Not just an outcast somewhere over in the corner. But he has made us unto God, kings and priests in this kingdom. Oh, thank the Lord that we can have access unto everything that is part of this kingdom. Now, then we don't have to wait for a day and an age to come. Oh, there's something coming, all right. Thank the Lord, it is a hope that burns within our souls. One of these days, I'm going to see my Lord face to face. One of these days, I'm going to see what he has prepared for them that love him. But you know, it doesn't start at the end of my life. It doesn't start at the end of the world. It starts right now when I am born into this kingdom. Who's part of this kingdom? Everyone that is born again and washed in the blood of the Lamb. It's not only those that are on this earth. The scripture says, I think it's in Ephesians 3 and 15. It speaks about this family. Ephesians chapter 3 and starting in verse 14. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. Oh, thank the Lord that we can be part of this family. Whenever the scripture talks about a great cloud of witnesses that has gone before. Folks, do you realize that we who are born again share the bloodline of, I don't know what you want to call it, royalty of spiritual giants, of those who were great and mighty in faith. We share their bloodline. Oh, there's a song I've heard, I won't get the words of it all right now, but the idea of it is people ask me sometimes why you go around happy and singing, and the answer comes in the song. It runs in the family. That's just, it runs in the family line. Oh, great, great grandfather Peter, brother Peter. But way back there, whenever he was in the prison, that's what he did. He sang songs, and it's the same blood that runs in me. The blood of Jesus Christ that has redeemed us from our sins. Whenever I read in the 11th chapter of Hebrews, and I see all of those who came before who by faith, and they didn't inherit the promises, but they took possession of everything that they had, and they looked for those promises that we can now be partakers of. And I think, Lord, I'm hardly worthy to be counted in that number. But the song said, praise God, I belong. I've got the same blood. You know, legally, there is a process whereby people can be adopted into the family. Scriptures talk about you have received the adoption of sons. You know, the Lord has, like we read in Ephesians, He can take a nation, He can take a people who were once excluded from the umbrella of God's protection and providence, privileges, however you want to word it, and He can afford it unto them as well. Receive us as sons and as daughters. I'm so thankful to be a part of this family. Read a scripture in Psalms 68. The request was given in for prayer today. I believe it's a good one. Pray for the homeless. You know, there are some things that are so far removed from my day-to-day life, from my lot in life, that it's hard for me to put myself in the place that they're in. You know, the Lord loves them as well. The Lord loves all mankind. Psalm 68 and 5, it says, a father of the fatherless and a judge of the widows is God in His holy habitation. God setteth the solitary in families. He bringeth out those which are bound with chains, but the rebellious dwell in a dry land. You know, the Lord's plan is that there not be a single soul that is homeless, without a spiritual home. I thank God for a home. I'm thankful for a place that I can go in after work and I can sit down in my recliner, and I've got family around me that loves me, and we love one another, and it's just like a little refuge from this world. And I believe that our homes should have holiness unto the Lord upon them. It should be unlike the world. It should be a refuge for us and for our children. But I'm thinking about more than our four walls of the house that we live in. You know, the Lord has a home for each one of us spiritually. Now, my salvation is not dependent upon you. I've got to work out my own salvation before the Lord. This is a personal relationship between me and God. But the Lord taketh the solitary, and He sets them, He places them in a body. He sets them in a family. The thing about those, especially holiday times and all, that don't have family, or they're estranged from their family, and they're all alone, and the house is quiet, and they don't know the laughter and the joy of sharing together. You know, no matter what our natural physical family and family background is, folks, if we are a child of God, you've got a home. If we are children of God, we have a place where we can realize by our spirit, the Lord's spirit bearing witness with ours. My child, you're home. There's a song that we sing that you can know if you ever see me not raising my hand on this verse of song, saying, amen, I found this to be so. I must not be paying attention. Shame on me. I have, number 131, I have a good home in the fold of my Lord, where His sanctified children all dwell. I am glad that I heard the truth from His word, and now with my soul all is well. Oh, I thank God that we don't have to be spiritual outcasts, that we don't have to be spiritually homeless, wandering over the hills without a home. But in Christ we have found our habitation. The scripture Isaiah talks about, they shall have a peaceable habitation. There is a place in the Lord, not found in the folds of man, not found in the organizations of man. I can't put you into it, and I can't take you out of it. I can't produce true fellowship. I can try to encourage people to get together and let's have a get together or invite people out to service, but I can't produce fellowship. That comes of a spiritual nature. It comes when we're both born into the same family. And there's something there. I've heard about people who have been estranged from their family, maybe separated at birth or adopted out, and they years later they find their birth parents, or they find a brother or sister, or even a child, and there's just a bond there. And they recognize, thinking of one brother who had not seen his son. He had come back to the Lord after years in sin, had not seen his son for many years, and was reunited with his son. And I got a picture. It looks just like you. Folks, I am so thankful that the family of God spans across this world. Of every blood-washed child of God, of every tongue, of every nationality who calls out in by faith in Christ, we're part of a family. And there's something that I see and that my spirit recognizes that says there's a connection here. We look alike, not just in identical appearance, but there's something about my spirit that bears witness with yours, that says we're heirs together of the same thing. We share the same Father. Oh, we have the same brother, Jesus Christ. And we are heirs together of this great inheritance, the inheritance of this kingdom that one day we'll receive in full. But we're not waiting for that day. The scripture says that the Holy Ghost is given unto us as what? As the earnest of our inheritance, the down payment. The song says, oh, what a foretaste of glory divine in my soul that I can taste right here in this life by the love of God shed abroad in my heart. I can know what the peace of God is right now. I don't have to wait until I get to heaven to know what the peace of God is. That I can rule over sin right here in this life. I don't have to wait until an age to come for Christ to, what, overthrow the kingdoms of this world? No. There is a spiritual kingdom that I can be born into, cleansed and washed from my sins, and made a king and a priest. What is a king? It's someone who rules. Over what or whom? Over other people? No, even the pastors and the ministers are said of them not to be lords over God's heritage. So who are we ruling over? By the grace of God, as I'm born into this kingdom, as I'm a king under the King of Kings, I am given authority and power to rule over sin and Satan in my own life, to be able to conquer, to be able to be an overcomer and a victor. That runs in the family. That's what this family is. This family, and throughout time, you can see their fingerprint, I think more than fingerprints. Down throughout times, what is it? The Waldensians, I believe, under the darkness of Roman Catholicism, that they saw light and understanding, and they held to that, and they were true to that in the face of persecution. One of many people throughout time. And an endeavor to be true to the light that God gave them. That's my brother. Those were my sisters and my brothers back there. And I don't know what my time is going to hold, but I'm in the same family. Oh, if I can say this without it coming across the wrong way, in a family of champions through Jesus Christ, who goes forth conquering and to conquer. Whenever the old giants arise up in the Old Testament, those who had this blessing of God, who were walking under the umbrella of His blessing, there was no city that could stand before Him, no people that could overcome Him. And as that translates, now that we have access through faith today over Satan, who would take dominion over mankind and over everyone that committeth sin. Well, there's some other scriptures that I'd like to read. Galatians, the 3rd chapter. I pray the Lord will just inspire our hearts with a beautiful plan and privilege that He's made available to us. Galatians 3:9 says, "So then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham." All the Pharisees were talking to Jesus as He was letting them know, "You shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free." And they said, "We are free. We're Abraham's seed. We're of Abraham's lineage. We are free." But didn't even realize that they weren't free at all. Whoever commits sin is the servant of sin. And they were bound in their chains of sin. A transition had happened here now. He said, "I could of these stones raise up children unto Abraham." That's not now the lineage that matters. Now it's a spiritual lineage that you're born into. And we now, as the scripture says here, we now are, "They which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham, and are blessed with faithful Abraham." Thank the Lord that we are called with a high calling. And it's made available unto every one of us who are saved. Let's look at Hebrews, the 3rd chapter. Thinking of this household where the Lord desired, He's able to save people from the furthest reaches of this world. His Spirit is able to go and reveal truth to people that maybe don't even know how to read. And to everyone who accepts this gift, who repents and calls upon the name of Christ, they're born. A child of God, a brother, a sister is born. But you know, it's also not God's plan that His people remain just scattered all over the face of the earth. I believe it was some of the Jewish leaders who unwittingly prophesied of this, but it was so true, speaking of Jesus that unto him shall the gathering of the people be, unto Christ. The scripture we read in Galatians says he shall make of twain one body in Christ by the cross. That is the uniting factor. That is the bloodline that runs through and unites us all in this family. Hebrews 3 and verse 6, it says, it was speaking of Moses and the house that Moses had built and how Moses was counted worthy and he was faithful in all his house. And it says in verse 6, but Christ, as a son over his own house. Who's that? Whose house are we if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end? That we can be part of that house that he has built. Wasn't it Peter, I think it says, but ye are built up a spiritual habitation unto the Lord. Ye are called to be kings and priests, a peculiar people set apart from this world, a holy nation and habitation unto God that he has made us a part of. If we will hold fast. Oh, I know there's a doctrine, a belief in this world that there's no need to hold fast. Jesus is holding you and he's not going to let you go even if you want to go. Folks, the Lord doesn't take our will away. The Lord still gives us the power to say no unto him. But oh, if we'll hold fast our confidence in God unto the end. Folks, we can. It's possible. We need not fall away. We need not to become again strangers. We need not, like the pig, to go back to the wallowing in its mire again. We don't need to be like the dog that returns to his vomit again. No, we're above that. We've been called to something better. Oh, Lord, help us that our hearts, and I pray for our young people and our young families, don't let your hearts go out to this world. Don't let your hearts go out. It's sewage out there. It's a mud. It's a pig pen. Don't go out there. Let's read in Luke the 15th chapter about someone who learned this lesson the hard way. The prodigal son. Abbreviate the story for the sake of time, but I believe you're probably familiar with it. Younger of two sons said unto his father, give unto me my inheritance. And the father granted him his request. It wasn't an irresistible thing. It wasn't something that his son had no choice over, or an irresistible grace that I cannot say no unto. The son came to a place that he said, Father, I want it. I've set my course. This is the way I want to go. And his father, although in reading the context of the story, we know it hurt his father deeply. He let him go. And he gave him that which fell unto him. And he went and he spent all that he had and he wasted everything in riotous living. My heart hurts for those who come up and say, I've got to prove it for myself. It doesn't matter all of those who have gone before and made shipwreck. I'm going to try it for myself. And they go out and they spend all that they have. And they find themselves broken and empty and hopeless and lonely and tired and weighed down and depressed and despairing sometimes of life itself and saying it wasn't supposed to be this way. But God in his mercy caused this young man to come to himself. As he was there just trying to even eat the pig slop. That's all sin will leave us with. He began to remember. I had a home. I don't have one now. I remember speaking to a man on these streets. Who said, will you pray for me? I said, I'll just tell you, I'm an alcoholic. I used to have a family, children. He said, I used to go to church too. But he said, it's a long story. And I made some bad decisions and here I am. Will you pray for me? Folks, The Lord has a home. He has a home for the homeless. He has a home for the solitary. You know, the Lord's looking down on that man today, waiting, calling after, for him to be able to enjoy his home. This young man, remembering back and thinking, and said, I had it so much better in Father's house. I had a home. I wasn't hungry. Oh, I had everything that I needed. What was I thinking? Let me go back. I'm sorry. And let me see if I can just be a servant. Let me see if Father will just let me into the house. Let me live in the servants' quarters. Let me just stay with the servant. I know I'm not worthy to be a son. I know what I've done. I know I forsook Father. But even the servants have it better than I have. We know the story. He went back, and his father was looking for him. Folks, this is just so real for us. This is our Father's heart. This is what He desires for us. And not just us, but Him and her and all those that are wandering across the mountains. I'm going to deviate here just a little bit. We'll come back. Just like that one lamb that was lost, that strayed out of the fold and was wandering through the dangerous mountains, and the shepherd left him and went in search of that one. It's not safe for you out here. Brought him back into the fold. That's still the Father's heart for a lost and dying world. It is the mercy of God that He has allowed time to stand this long, not willing that any should suffer. As this young man was headed back to Father's house, there was the Father looking, and I doubt that was the first day the Father had done that. I have in my mind that the Father likely every day was praying for His Son and going out looking, maybe. Oh God, bring Him back. Maybe today He'll come back. Nothing. Goes back with a heavy heart, but this day He saw Him coming. That's my Son. And He went and He fell upon Him with rejoicing and weeping. This, my Son, is home again. You're back where you belong. What did He do to him? Say, all right, you're under probation now. You're under probation for the next year. You go out back and chop some cotton now for a while. No, my Son, go and kill the fatted calf for Him. Put the best robe upon Him. He belongs here. Oh, all is forgiven. Thank God for the mercy and forgiveness of God. That He will cast our iniquities and transgressions as far as the east is from the west. That we can come. And I don't have to come to you who have been born again saying, what all is in your past? What all sins did you commit? Oh, it doesn't matter. It's washed in the blood. It's under the blood of the Lamb. It's forgiven. If you're a child of God, you're a new creature. You're not the same old person that you used to be. I've heard after the fact, or sometimes years later, someone will confide in me. You know, Brother Clint, this is the kind of depths that I was in sin. No. Really? Somebody that was on the verge of committing suicide. But you're our pastor. Someone who is bound by drugs and addiction. No, brother so-and-so? Not you. Oh, but God, who is rich in mercy, who pardons all our transgressions and forgives and brings into this household of God. It says all that is behind you now. It's not part of who you are now. You're a child of God. You're a child of the King. You're clothed in the best robes of righteousness, just like the rest. You know, it's one size fits all. It's all the same color. We're all offered white robes of righteousness. That's what they saw in Revelation in the vision. Who are these then arrayed in white linen And whence came they? These are they who have been through great tribulation. But there was one thing that bound them in common. They have washed their robes in the blood of the Lamb. And now they're part of a number. They're part of a cloud of witnesses who have been forgiven and have been kept by the blood of the Lamb. And now that family that's united together around the throne, and that fellowship that of the Spirit extends to us, that we can feel the beckoning of the Spirit. My child, be faithful. Hold true, my child. You're not a citizen of that country around you. You're part of a heavenly family. You're part of a heavenly country. So don't be ashamed to be called a pilgrim, a stranger, a weird one. You belong to a family. But I want to get a couple thoughts before we move off of this story of the prodigal son. I really want to think about his brother. His brother who, verse 25, his elder son was in the field, and as he came and drew nigh to the house, he heard music and dancing, and he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said, "Thy brother is come, and thy father hath killed the fatted calf, because he hath received him safe and sound." And he went away rejoicing. Let me see my brother. It says he was angry and would not go in. And therefore his father came out and entreated him. Here he stays in his room or wherever, sulking, pouting, thinking this isn't right. He went out, and maybe at the time he was saying, maybe he tried to stop him, "Brother, don't go out there. No, that's foolish. Don't do that. I'm going to stay right here." And he sees the rejoicing and all that. Well, maybe he should be in probation. I don't know exactly what all was going through his mind, but he shared some with his father. He said, "These many years I did serve you. You never killed the fatted calf for me. The best robe is put. Look what you've done for my brother who came back." But you notice the father came and entreated him as well. He loved the prodigal and he loved his brother and he wanted them to be one. The Lord's desire today is that his people be united and joined together. There is not a multiplicity of the bodies of Christ. There is one body of Christ. And so the father called him, "What's wrong with you, son? Oh, this isn't fair. This isn't right." And he said, "Son, all that I have is yours. You didn't ask me." So I want us to take challenge today to live up to our birthright. If we are born a child of God, we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand. Under the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but we have access to righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. It's ours. Lord, help us to live to our birthright. It's made available to us, but there's something that's incumbent upon us to put in for it. And I think about his heart towards his brother. And I say, "Lord, help me." Because I can look at that and say, "What a shame." But I realize this has modern day application. Where's my heart towards those who wonder? Where's my heart to those who have gone astray? Lord, give it to them. Lord, help them to see how wrong they are. Oh, I do want them to come to themselves, Lord. But am I waiting with open arms? Am I waiting to welcome them back? Am I waiting to say, "Welcome home, brother. You belong in the family of God." Lord, help me that the Father's heart be mine. I think about the beggars, were they lepers maybe, sitting at the gate of Samaria that had been besieged by the Syrians for a long time. So bad was the siege, the situation inside the city. They were starving, they were killing one another and turning to cannibalism. And the lepers, the beggars standing, sitting there at the gate said, "You know what? If we stay here, we're going to die. And if we go out to the camp of the Syrians, we're likely going to die. So let's just go on out and see if we can get what we need. And meanwhile, the Lord had caused the Syrian camp to hear a sound and put fear in their hearts, and they ran for their lives, and the beggars came and found suddenly spread before them more than what they could ever dream of or imagine. Food in abundance, riches, and all of that just here for the taking. Can you imagine? They began to indulge themselves and enjoy it, and then they stopped and said, "We do not well. Today is a day of good tidings." And they're back there starving, and let's go tell them as well. I want them, is that our heart as well? I want them to be able to enjoy the goodness of God. Oh, the scripture talks about in meekness instructing those that oppose themselves. Jesus said they know not what they do. They don't know that they're fighting against themselves, that they're robbing themselves of the blessing of God. Oh, Lord, help us to not just sit and gorge. Well, Lord, help us to sit and gorge ourselves and enjoy the goodness of God, but not to just do that and with no regard for those who are starving, to those who are under the thumb of the enemy. Oh, today's a day of good tidings. Lord, I want to share it with other people. You too can be part of the family. You who's sitting here in the gutter of sin, you can be part of the family. Come and go with me. You can be my brother or my sister. Oh, I thank God that it is His heart. Oh, He loves the household of God. Thank God that we can be a part of His household, part of the family of God, that we can belong. You pray for me. Amen.